you know they've got a... Oh, we're probably rolling anyway, aren't we? They've got this new show over here where the single mums or dad... It's like a maths in over here, but it's single mums and dads getting together and their kids are watching them in the studio. I was like... And they're all... The mums and dads are just going for it. It's in New Zealand only. It's fucking full on, mate.
Can we... obviously, welcome, Trans-Tasman Gibberish, and we are doing exactly what the name suggests right now.
Hello.
Can we stop with reality TV that's to do with getting people together?
Fuck, I hate it. I hate it.
I had a girl that worked for me at the video shop. She was an admin assistant, or like a production assistant on Married at First Sight when it first started.
Oh, right.
And... Everyone was like, oh, this show's amazing, you know, oh, it's real. And I looked at her and she goes, it is so fucking fake. We sit in the car, we tell them what they're going to say, what's going to be, it's like, but people buy into this shit.
It's
everyone's a character, everyone's trying to be a star. You're all fuckwits. Fuck off.
I couldn't agree more. Like, I've got a couple of stories. One is, Tash wanted me to try it, and I went, okay. So I sat down. I reckon after 2 minutes, I looked at her and went, no, this is this is bullshit. This is bullshit. And I don't know if you're going to catch the start of what I said. They've got this new one in New Zealand where it's single mums and dads going into like a house or whatever. I've only seen the ads, by the way. And it's their kids who are the ones voting people off. The kids of these. It's just fucking insane. And do you know what? I listen to a lot of rugby league podcast listeners, if that's a surprise to anyone. Good luck to you. I listened to Six Tackles with Gus. They started talking about maths, and I said, if they speak about it in the next episode, I'm fucking out. I can watch my wife and daughter's brain cells die as they're watching that show.
Yeah.
It's fucking bullshit.
Nah.
Get off it, everyone.
Yep. Terrible.
What a great start. What a great start for a rant.
Nothing like starting with a rant.
Do you like Farmer Wants a Wife?
I hate them all. The only
it's the worst.
The only, and I haven't watched this for a while. I was big into MasterChef for a
long
time.
So was I.
But I haven't watched it since they then. I couldn't identify with anyone on it because there were no Australians on Australian MasterChef. Right.
What about the non-binaries? Were they Vietnamese non-binaries?
And I'm gonna liken. It's very similar to what happened with my other favourite reality TV show, which is Survivor. What they started to do with Survivor, instead of throwing knockabout people together to duke it out, they started then putting characters on the show.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
And people to play characters. And because what had worked is that they had got these people on, and instead, and you know, where there used to be maybe two or three people that were characters and could, you know, throw a hand grenade into the campfire, they decided that, no, we've got to have 24 characters.
No,
and it just becomes contrived.
Just rubbish,
everything
mate.
About
it's
it
rubbish.
Becomes contrived. So they've done the same with MasterChef.
You're frozen, man. Oh, sorry.
It is. They've done the same with MasterChef where it is... Again, have you watched television ads now? Television ads is diversity times 1,000.
Oh, yeah. Every ad in New Zealand, because it's such a huge population, has Indians in it over here.
So
huge.
And it's like, so with MasterChef in Australia, it's the same thing. Like there could be four, or let's say there's 20 people on it. You know, less than 50% of it is white Anglo-Saxon. Now, I don't have an issue. I'm not racist. I'm just saying, like, can we stop with the diversity and can we just pick the best people on the show? Because there was seriously, there was a guy on the show when I turned it off. The guy couldn't open a can of fucking baked beans.
Yeah, they help him on. I had a friend of mine who went on My Kitchen Rules with his wife and he said it was the biggest load of shit ever. They would go to, you know how they, it was Manu and that Peter guy and they'd go to someone's house and they cook, right? Sometimes they wouldn't be eating till 12:30, like in the morning.
Yeah.
And it was cold. But Manu and Peter, because they wanted these people to do well, would go, oh, this is the most amazing meal and bullshit. Then they'd take them back to a studio in the city and then drill them with questions to try and get emotional responses out of them. Mm. It's just bullshit, mate. Whole thing's bullshit. Get some proper drama into you, or controlled comedy or whatever, with proper actors who have an art. Yeah, it is, mate. It is. Hey, I was telling you before, and you know my disdain for golf, usually, the sport of golf, that beautiful gentleman's game.
Yep.
Well, my son's doing it at PE, at school, in his last year of school, and so he's now addicted to it. So guess who is playing a lot of golf again?
Yep.
I am.
Yep.
I only caddied for him last Friday. I caddied for him because I just couldn't be fucked playing.
Fair enough.
And what happens, we started a bit late, so we only got six holes in because it's dark by fucking 5 o'clock. And it started fucking pouring with rain right at the end, and I got I'm like, what the fuck? This is why I don't like camping. I hate fucking camping.
Guess what?
I'm going camping. I'm going camping in January next year, apparently. I said, no, I'm not. I'm going Airbnb. You can be in a tent, darling.
Yep.
I'll be camping.
Enjoy your camping.
Oh, yeah. God. But go back to golf. I didn't mind golf. I didn't mind having a hit. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't too bad.
I'm trying to get back into it. I'm going to Tasmania in late June on a boys' sort of trip.
And, oh, okay, cool.
You know, there's like 34 guys to watch Jesus. The second in conjunction with the second State of Origin. It's a yearly thing.
Oh, right. Cool.
And generally, we would go to the game on the Wednesday night and then play golf on the Thursday and Friday, but because we're going to Tasmania, obviously we're not going to the game.
Oh.
So we are watching the game, and so it should be interesting.
Oh, but look, nice.
I'm trying to get 34. Back into it, but I keep saying I'm going to play every weekend, and I haven't played, and I've just got to rip the Band-Aid off.
Well, it's time. It's time, right? And the best thing about it with Max wanting to play, it's just... When he's a 17-year-old, he doesn't really want to hang out with me, but now he plays golf, we get some really good time together. So for me, it's really special because he won't want to do that soon again. So and it gets him away from his computer, which I quite like as well.
Yeah, and that's the same. That's Luke started playing golf, Luke started surfing, and a distinct lack of PlayStation time, which is good.
Hey, I was going to say as well, before we start getting into news stories, a few listeners, Empire Strikes Back is the current Born to Watch, and... I'm gonna say this now. I thought it was my favorite Star Wars. I honestly did. And I sat down to watch it. I fell asleep 3 times in it. Now, I was tired, but I've watched Star Wars again recently and I really liked Star Wars. This one I didn't get captured by it. I don't know why, because I know you guys think, apart from Damo, think it's your favourite Star Wars ever.
I know, I'm with...
And I was like...
No, Star Wars is my favourite. Star Wars is my favourite.
Oh, okay.
Star Wars is my favourite movie along with Jaws. It's like a photo finish for those two, as in my number one film. The question was whether it is the best Star Wars. And two of the boys said, yes, they believed it is.
Yeah,
and I said, look, it's again, and for me, it is a photo finish between Star Wars and Empire.
Okay.
And
okay.
Return of the Jedi isn't even third. I'd have Revenge of the Sith before Return of the Jedi.
So that's interesting because my memory and probably my age, I've always thought Return of the Jedi is the best. So I'm looking forward to sitting down and watching that again. Because, I've always, in my mind, because when did Return of the Jedi come out?
What 83. Year?
So I'm in year 3 at school.
Yeah.
So I don't know how old am I there? Fucking 9?
Well, no. Return of the Jedi is the first, like I saw Star Wars in the re-release, as I said in the podcast.
Yeah.
And I saw Empire when I was 5 when it came out in the movies. But don't really have a great recollection of that. Return was the first one that I can actually purely remember.
Yeah.
Going to the movies.
Yeah, same.
And so there's that emotional attachment.
Yeah.
But Morgs makes a really good point, which is not often, that he says that, and when you watch Return, it is made for merchandising. There's no doubt. They are on the merchandise train with Return of the Jedi. They wanted, originally the Ewoks were supposed to be Wookiees. One, they couldn't find enough 7-foot tall people, and two, Ewoks are way cuter than Wookiees and what's smaller and you can, easy to manage. So, look, it's definitely a grab for merchandise. But, look, I've got no dramas with you saying that it's not your favourite. I've got concerns about you saying that you fell asleep in it, though.
That's concerning. I was pretty tired.
Yeah, I got to say, it's more of a reflection on you than the movie.
Yeah, probably. It was like a Saturday Arvo, so I'm like, fast asleep.
Yeah. It was good fun.
I always remember Return of we'll get off movies in a sec, listeners. Return of Jedi,
that racer
scene in the woods on the Ewok land is fucking awesome. I remember that. It's so good.
Absolutely. Very good.
Anyway, you keep going in and out a little bit, so I don't know if
so
I'm
do you.
You.
So do you.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll just keep. You start today, mate. Let's go.
Look, I've got one. What do you just while we're on the entertainment side, I want to talk about The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, yeah.
Thoughts on him, first and foremost.
I think he's outstanding. Yeah. Look, I don't necessarily like all his movies and all that, but I love. He just for me exudes someone who's had challenges in life, overcome them, and it seems always positive, which I think is lacking today. So I really like The Rock, and it's great.
I've been a Rock guy since he was The Rock WWF. When I was big into watching WWF in the 90s, and he came on the scene, and I was a Rock guy.
Yeah, loved him. Cool.
He was so good. We used to quote a lot of the shit that he said at footy, and... I'm the same. I love The Rock. Very saddened to read today that he's actually a bit of a cock.
Is he?
So complaints have come out about the way he acts on set. Seems that he's a bit of a prima donna, turning up 8 hours late to set. Making ridiculous statements and wanting ridiculous things and.
Oh, okay.
And apparently him and Ryan Reynolds had a bit of a run-in on the set of Red Notice, which is a shitty Netflix movie.
Okay.
So I read that there was, they said the dad of three allegedly missed several entire days of production, ballooning cost by at least $50 million. So he apparently has become a little bit of a diva.
Mm.
And he apparently tried to take over the DC EU after Black Adam and... fucked up Henry Cavill's chances of being retained as Superman. So apparently they're possible, and this is all alleged, that he may be getting a little bit too big for his britches.
Okay. Because you always hear this about celebrities, right? You had, what's the one that did the lesbian woman who had the show, and they said she was a bit of a diva, and you have a few of these every now and again. So, look, I wanted to...
You're out.
Oh, am I back now?
You're back.
Oh, yeah, cool. So I was talking about the lesbian woman who has a show. I can't remember her fucking name, with a short hair. Ellen DeGeneres.
Ellen came DeGeneres, out
that,
yes.
That she was a bit like that. I can believe it, but I also want to take it with a grain of salt. You know what I mean? Because it depends who's saying it. They might have been really, what he was doing was really, but Ryan Reynolds is a legend, so you can believe Ryan Reynolds.
But also, like, I think that, I've never understood why these people believe they're so important. I know they get their cocks sucked all the time, and but surely you don't have to buy into that shit. Like, just give them a sweet "don't lick me out," move on.
Yeah,
I just they say don't meet your heroes because you'll be disappointed.
Oh, absolutely.
Right, and I think that when it comes to movie stars. I think it's 100% correct. I'm sure there's some amazing ones, but Margot Robbie's apparently a fucking legend.
Well, right? I've heard Keanu Reeves and Matthew McConaughey aren't
legends,
too bad either.
Right? But there's others that are supposed to be just absolute dickheads.
Yeah.
And apparently,
Ryan Reynolds
apparently,
and Ryan Gosling are pretty good too, I've heard.
Yeah, and there you go. So but it's very disappointing when you read shit like that with people that you actually. I'm a big Rock fan, so
yeah, it's hard. It's hard as well because. Like you said, they get their dick sucked all the time. They've got massive egos. I suppose it's still like a cross-section of life, right? You meet dickheads all the time and nice people, and I suppose that just gets inflated in that sort of environment, I suppose. But, yeah, I hope he's okay. I like him too, mate. Yeah. I do. I really do.
Yeah, anyway, that was that.
There you go. All right. So here we go. I've got some New Zealand news. It's all around the Nationals' decision to ban mobile phones at school, in schools across the country.
Okay.
Now, before I go into what I think, I also found a study which the UK schools with complete mobile bans are twice as likely to be rated as outstanding. Now, I'm not going to read the article. Outstanding, I'm going to assume is, you know, success for the students, right? That's what I'm going to assume. So the UK schools have done it. A lot of people, sorry, the opposition have said, oh, this is ridiculous, rah, rah, rah. I actually agree with this. So anyway, one of the government's key election pledges comes into full effect today with phones banned from all state schools.
So they are banned?
Yeah, they are banned. Okay, yeah, yep, it's just come in this week.
Yep.
And they actually, when they were on the campaign trail, they used that as one of their things. Because basically the education system in New Zealand's pretty close to broken.
Right.
They are constant. They've gone, look, how do we deep dive? They've gone very woke over here, right? Instead of going, we need people to be able to read, write, you know, that sort of, and do maths.
Yep, yep.
They've kind of gone a bit woke and, you know, trying to, and don't get me wrong, I want to, especially in primary school, you want a well-rounded kid, right? You don't want someone who just goes, rah, rah, rah. You want someone who understands social issues, blah, 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 blah. But you still need to have the basics, and that's be the focus, I think, especially in primary school.
But I think the world in general have dropped the ball on what's important and what's not.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
There's far too focused about what your pelvis looks like and what that means.
Yep.
And who you are.
Yeah.
Rather than what's going to get ahead, you ahead in life.
Exactly.
And we're so concerned about telling our children what they should see, think, and feel.
Yes.
Rather than letting them experience them themselves.
Oh, mate. 100%.
Yeah.
So, 100%. But I think this phone ban is 100% correct. This is the second good thing they've done after the pseudoephedrine in medicine over the counter. So well done, National. You got two. Why do they need their mobile phones? They've got laptops to work on. So, you know, they don't need them.
Mate, mobile phones are bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I shudder to think the amount of time in the day that I waste on my phone.
Oh, same, mate. Same.
And I can't stop. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't stop.
Once you get a good few videos, mate, on the old Instagram
once
or Facebook.
Once you start fucking scrolling, you are fucked. So, and I'm supposed to be, you know, 49 this year and have some sort of restraint.
Yeah.
What's a fucking 15-year-old kid supposed to do?
Yeah. Plus all the social media and the bullying and through the, I just think it's a great idea. I think it's an
100%,
awesome idea.
100% agree.
And by the way, I'll let you know, I'm going to give a shout out to my Anytime Fitness guys again in Takapuna, Mark and Big Dog and the rest of them. I'm on a video coming up on Instagram soon where they interview me, just a short snippet. So I'll send that through to you, Wally, just to see acting skills.
Please send it through, and I'm sure it'll be shared on Born to Watch.
Yeah, and you can see my guns too. They're pretty good nowadays.
Mate, I've seen your guns. I sat on the fucking...
They're pretty good guns now, mate.
I actually went back through the Pulp Fiction episode where you got your freaking 2-minute noodles out on the couch with us here.
I've got great legs for a lady, mate.
Yeah, you do. The milky white 2-minute noodles.
love it.
Mate, I want to... As this next story for me, I'm going to ask for some professional advice here.
Okay.
Because you are the finance guru of the show, right?
Of New Zealand. Of the Southern Hemisphere.
100%. 100%. Now, a guy by the name of Rand Lowe, who's an associate professor of quantitative finance at Bond University, just down the road,
here
on the GC, has said that we need to force Australia into a recession. So Aussies are being urged to stop splashing cash on Netflix, flat whites and eating out to trigger a recession. Aussies are being urged to stop blah, 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 to save us years of pain. Instead of it just being a short, you know, sharp recession, it will be a long-term recession if we continue doing what we're doing. A very severe recession that may take years to come out of will happen if we don't force this recession quickly. My question is, and it's saying because there's the economy is bouncing back a little and spending is back up again. And my question to you, Adam, is I understand it was a false economy for the previous 4 years coming out of COVID.
Yep.
And there's no way that interest rates could continue at 0.75% or whatever they were in Australia.
Yep.
Can you explain to me in layman's terms why we would need a recession? Why the banks put interest rates up to 8% other than getting back the money that they've lost in the 4 years before? Can you explain this to me? Because personally, I would feel that if people are happy and spending money, is that a good thing? Or are we not supposed to be happy and spending money? Explain to me.
How long have you got, Whitey?
Just give me a short, succinct thought on this.
Where do I start? This is this is such a big topic. It's ridiculous.
We could do
four podcasts on this.
Because
mate, honestly,
from my perspective, decisions that they're making now, affect the wrong people. And I believe that's why they're being made.
100%. Right. So this is exactly what Adrian Orr, the Reserve Bank governor, said here, is that he forced New Zealand into... We're in a recession now, right, over here. We've had two quarters of negative GDP growth, 0.3 and 0.1. It's not a lot, but it's still a recession. He wanted to engineer that because inflation was too high. So they want to keep inflation between... I think we're both the same. They want to keep it between 1% and 3%, which means, you know, a dollar today is worth 1% to 3% less tomorrow, basically, because of prices going up. Now, do you know what inflation is? Do you know how that works?
Explain.
Inflation is basically the government spending money.
Yep.
That's all it is. They're shoveling money into the economy. Now, the stupid thing about this is they're borrowing a shitload of it. So the government get money from taxes, our taxes, and they borrow a shitload of money. So the borrowing of that money puts too much money into the economy. So if there's too much money in the economy, our dollar's worth less than it was yesterday.
So our buying power is less.
So
what I'm hearing is that the government is telling us to do what they can't.
100%.
Right.
So for example, the national government here are going, because of COVID, they pumped $56 billion they didn't have into the economy of a $300 billion economy here. So shitloads of money. Their national is saying, we've just inherited a shit show. We've got to cut health. We've got to cut this. We've got to cut that. Because they actually do want to get inflation and the cost of living down for everyone.
Yeah,
that's what they're trying to do at the moment. And that usually happens with Labor, Liberal in Australia cycles. Labor spend all this. They're cutting 3,500 public servant jobs here. That's how much extra money the government was spending on shit, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, look, that's very lame. And it's, but who are the people that get done by this? The mortgage holders.
Well,
people who have mortgages.
It's middle class.
Of course it is, mate. Of course it is.
Yeah.
So basically what they're trying to do is they're going to say, okay, everything costs too much. So then you pull back your, like a cup of coffee, 3 years ago was $4. Now it's $6.50.
Yeah.
Right? Now there are other forces at play, the supply chains, especially for New Zealand, because we're so far away, people are going, oh, it costs too much to bring stuff in. And if you do, we're going to charge you this much for the shipping. So that also puts increases on prices. But the bottom line is if governments spend more money than they have, it increases inflation, and then the Reserve Bank says, oh, we've got to increase the interest rates to try and bring down inflation, so it's the government's fault, basically, mate, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, I assume that would be the case.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then we're the ones that pay for it.
Yeah.
So, look, you can even go back to, look at the days, right, when a postman in 1950, right, could own his own house. His wife could stay at home, he would have two children, and they could have a comfortable life. Why? Why could they do that now? A postman now couldn't get a fucking one-bedroom
But the government don't want people to stay home.
Of course not.
Because that's not generating any income for them, right?
Of course.
So they want to make it so that both parents have to work.
Absolutely.
Because they get double the tax.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
look...
Absolutely. It's bullshit. And then they put a whole bunch of bureaucratic... Too many laws basically means people have to pay more money to the government. Like, for example, if you're... Like, look at stamp duty in Australia, for example.
That's a hoax.
That is the biggest load of shit ever. You've bought a house, now you've got to pay the government? Because you've bought a house? Aren't you trying to get people into housing? We should have free education.
Yeah.
I mean, we get these young people out of school, they do 4 years at uni, they come out with $100,000 debt. I mean, that's what they want, though, because they want them to work, pay taxes, and pay off their debt.
Yeah.
That's what the government wants. It's a crime, mate. It's look, and don't get me wrong, I think we spoke about this last time. Capitalism's probably the best system we've found, but it's got massive flaws. And it's got to come around. Look, look at the GFC. The banks just made up all this shit and sold shit mortgages as double A or triple A rated mortgages. And the whole thing, house of cards, collapsed, right? People in America just walking out of their houses, leaving the keys on the counter, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, the problem is you start regulating the banks more, they're just going to charge us more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a self-fulfilling. That's why I call it a Ponzi scheme, mate.
Yeah.
It's a legal Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
So I hope that helped.
It does. No. Thank you. I appreciate it. What do you got?
What have I got? Oh, next. Oh, look, I've got some. Actually, the rest of mine are pretty much touch on sport.
So do mine.
Okay, cool. So let me start on the sad one. I've got a sad one.
Paul Kent.
No. That's okay. Not sad. He's an idiot.
Yes.
So this happened in a rugby game in Auckland. A father of three died from a head injury sustained in an under-85s game. A rugby player has died after sustaining a severe brain injury during an under-85-kilogram match in Auckland. Corey Heather, 33, was airlifted from Tapuru Park in Beachlands to Auckland Hospital in a critical condition. The Auckland Rescue Helicopter said he leaves behind a wife, Rachel, and three young kids, Stevie, 5, Benji, 4, and Louis, 1. I just want to. He owns his own. He's a builder, Woodstar Construction. Look, I just wanted to say this is absolute travesty. I feel for his family. You know, all the love in the world goes out to him to play sport and die from it. You know, it's just the worst, mate.
Does it say what happened?
He basically just got a head knock,
right,
and then had a hemorrhage, basically.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So purely accidental.
Well, there you go. So there's that, and in New Zealand, as you said there, it's weight based, so yes, under 85 kilos, and that doesn't solve a fucking thing.
No, and I think people have to realise that if they play sport, they have there's danger.
For sure.
Who thought a guy Phil Hughes, a batsman, would die playing cricket?
Yep.
Ever with a helmet on,
mate.
So it's just a tragedy.
Every
mate.
Time you walk out the house, you're 1 inch closer to death.
Yeah.
It's just how close you want to skate,
and
anyone that's played sport, or you know, I've been driving my car and I've gone, fuck, I nearly died then.
No, oh, absolutely, 100%.
Like, so,
but you know what? Shit just happens, right?
Like, yeah,
happens. You can't legislate or make rules for every scenario so that everyone's 100% safe.
So then, I don't have this, but we'll just touch on it very quickly now.
Yeah,
banning the kickoff in rugby league.
Oh, for fuck's sake, seriously. Just can these people go fuck off?
Yeah.
Leave the game alone. They took the shoulder charge away,
yep,
which was a fantastic part of the game. And I've spoken about this before. Just leave the game alone. Like, yep, they're looking at if you're jumping for a ball now and accidentally touch the guy who's, they're calling it a penalties now. It's like, come on, just leave it alone. Just, you can't take that away. What are you going to do? Are you going to kick downfield and the fullback can't run it back hard anymore?
It's a joke.
I mean, it's a joke, mate. If this goes the way of union, I'm out.
Well, they've killed union and they're trying to kill rugby league.
I'm out.
They're trying.
I'm out. Except if the Bulldogs are in the top eight.
I've got one. I got one last thing.
Yeah.
Before we move, which was seen for a sport heavy back end of the show.
Yeah.
The headline of this is Bondi Uber Eats driver caught doing the unthinkable in a public toilet. Right? Now, what do you think the unthinkable might be?
Well, The first thing that sprang to mind was masturbating.
Absolutely, but it's not that.
It's not that. Was he eating the person's food?
No. Oh. It's close, though.
Oh.
Taking, okay. He was taking a shit with his delivery bag in the cubicle with him.
What?
Taking a shit with the delivery bag in the cubicle with him.
Why?
Now, look, we're not...
Leave it in the car.
We're not sure if there's any food in the bag. But regardless, there's fecal matter in and over the bag moving
forward. Poo particles.
Fecal matter.
What's he doing?
Mate, unbelievable.
Put it in the car. Leave it in the car. What an idiot.
Now, you've also then got to question the fuckwit that took the photo under the barricade, under the cubicle of the guy taking the shit.
Oh, does someone take a photo?
Someone's taking a photo of it. I'm looking at the photo now.
Oh, my... Sorry, they've probably got... Actually, they're probably more mental than the guy who's pooing with his bag.
Yeah. So, I've all been in situations where it's DEFCON 1000. You just got to go. But, you know, leave the bag outside, pal.
Absolutely. What? Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Leave the bag
and
outside,
And someone
pal.
To take a photo.
I know. Unbelievable.
It's even funnier.
Unbelievable.
Oh, God.
All right. That
all
was
right.
It.
Next one I've got... Australian teen catches million-dollar fish. Did you see that one?
I did see that.
All over the news, man.
Yeah.
This is. I'm gonna read it for the Kiwi.
The money's gone already. Listeners. The money would be gone already.
Well, you can see his father. Australia's most sought-after fish has been caught after a 19-year-old Northern Territory man reeled in a barramundi worth $1.1 million New Zealand dollars on Sunday morning. Now, let me keep reading because the story's good. Catherine local Keegan Payne caught the fish, which had been tagged as part of a 9-year-long fishing competition in the Catherine River. It's only in Northern Territory, a 9-year-long fishing competition. When the self-professed mad keen fisherman, in those fucking comma things, found out he had won the top end's million-dollar cash prize, he said he planned to use the prize money to help his parents with their home loans. So are they separate? They must be separated. Anyway, this is crazy for us. We're a big family. There's 8 of us. This is more money than we could ever ask for. This is just great, Payne said. Now, you can ask for more money. There is more money than $1 million, but it's good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to take the piss.
I'm sure they're already getting a fair whack.
It means so much. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for me. I'm happy, really happy. I can buy what I want. Maybe help dad and mum out with the home loans. Maybe.
All right.
Right. So Payne was on a fishing trip with family and friends on the Catherine River when he caught the prize barramundi. Payne called the hotline for the prize in the early hours of Sunday morning with the competitions organised inviting him and his family to collect the prize. The competition has been running since 2015 and nobody had reeled it in yet.
Obviously.
So there you go. So the thing is, most of the fish are worth about 11,000 New Zealand dollars. But there's major prize worth 1.1. So this is a pretty cool event, man.
So they tagged a fish 11 years ago.
Yeah.
And released it and said if anyone catches this fish, it's $1 million, right?
So they did a whole bunch. They did a whole bunch of 10,000 Australian dollars and they did a one for $1 million. I think that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
And good on him.
Yeah.
Barramundi, it eats well too.
It's good fish.
Eats well. Does he get to eat it?
I reckon no.
It's worth $1 million. I think the organisers want it. Fuck, did they stuff gold nuggets up its ass but when they how cool though. I think that's one. And look, I used to fish a lot, but I'm not a big fisherman now.
Hate fishing.
Well, I used to do it on boats, but I hate boats, so I can't do it.
Well,
so.
I just hate fish. I hate touching them. They're gross.
Oh,
they stink.
Yeah, we've talked about this.
Fucking hate it. Putting bait on the hook.
You're
my
such
hands
a pussy.
Stink. No. Oh. Sorry.
Come on, mate. I love smashing the shit on the... I love smashing it with an implement and then gutting it and scaling it.
My hands,
I don't mind that.
My hands are only going to smell like fish one way. And
the tips of your fingers.
Catching fish is not the way.
I didn't know they smell like fish if you stuck them up your ass. Sorry.
Well, that's like you're fishing in the sewer. Huge snubs as Australia's World Cup squad announced for the T20 Cricket World Cup.
I haven't seen this. I have no idea.
Former Australian coach Justin Langer labelled Marcus Stoinis crucial for Australia's T20 World Cup hopes after the veteran slugger was confirmed in the squad, which will head to the tournament in the USA and Caribbean without batting dynamo Jake Fraser-McGurk.
What? They didn't pick him.
They did not pick him.
I'm out.
They picked David Warner, who has a finger injury, and he is retired. And this, he has decided that this would be his last Australian tournament. And they have left Jake Fraser-McGurk, who is 22
and
the best batter in the IPL at the moment, and they have not picked him. So,
that's absolute bullshit.
National selection chief George Bailey, who is an absolute fuckwit, who should never have played for Australia ever, said the red hot 22-year-old, who has lit up the Indian Premier League, where he is the third leading run scorer among Australians, was part of long conversations, but behind experienced players like Stoinis and veteran Matthew Wade, who's like nearly fucking 50, who can play crucial middle order roles. But Bailey also left the door open for changes before the deadline on May 25. Now, depth in top order batters, including Travis Head, is one.
Yeah, he's good. That's fine.
David Warner. Mitchell Marsh.
Yeah, okay.
He's the captain, I think, isn't he? Marsh the captain? I think he is.
Yeah, yep.
Stephen Smith is left out.
Yeah, well, it's fair enough.
So he should. So Steve Smith gets left out, but they keep David Warner.
Well, but I'd rather Fraser McGurk at the opening any day of the week.
This is okay.
Then you'd have him and Head. You'd have right and left.
But not only that, you've got a future with him.
Yeah, I know.
Play him just now.
Get rid of Warner. We don't need Warner.
But he's done.
Yeah.
The only person that benefits out of this is David Warner. Australian cricket gets no benefit. If we win, that's great. If we lose, no one benefits but Warner.
Yeah, but we're not going to win because Warner scores lots of runs.
No.
Necessarily. We're going to win if Fraser McGurk does. I just think he'll set it up better than David Warner. I think David Warner's done. I think his hand-eye coordination is going to be way better. He's had a bit of experience now with some one-day games. Yeah. I think we're mad. Potentially take Dave Warner as a reserve, but you start with Fraser McGurk.
So the squad is, and this would look to be what the starting 11 would be. Marsh is captain, Ashton Agar, Pat Cummins, Tim David, Nathan Ellis, Cameron Green, Josh Hazlewood, Travis Head, Josh Inglis, Glenn Maxwell, Mitchell Stark.
I'd probably have Fraser McGurk over Maxwell.
It's hard to not pick Maxwell.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
Stoinis, Wade, Warner, Zampa are the four.
I get why Stoinis is there for the all rounder. But then you got Tim David there. So why do you need Stoinis? And Tim David played really well in that.
He was amazing
in the three T20s here. So you probably, do you know what? I would even say because you got Tim David, you might just get rid of Stoinis from that. I don't know. But I agree, mate. Fraser McGurk needs to be in that team. Hopefully they picked David Warner knowing his finger's fucked. Hopefully.
Yeah.
And then they can just say, oh, we picked you, but anyway, why are they pandering to him? I don't get it. So can I add, one of my stories is about the Black Caps T20 World Cup, right?
Yep.
I need you to go to Black Caps Black Caps T20, retro teal strip. They're going back to the fucking, that off blue colour strip.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Yeah, that's like 99 or something like that.
Yeah, with the silver fern through the middle.
Oh, mate, it is the worst fucking thing ever.
It's terrible.
It is terrible. You can see there's a picture of Chris Cairns and Adam Parore and Nathan Astle. Oh, Nathan Astle, sorry, not Chris Cairns. Oh, mate, it is the worst. For me, they are black. They are black with a bit of grey. That's And do you know what? There's no way I'd ever go for New Zealand cricket, even if I'm a New Zealand citizen as well as an Australian one. I'll never go for them if they play in teal. Teal's just disgusting.
Yep.
Thoughts?
I agree. It's a terrible outfit.
What's Australia playing in?
Don't know. Canary yellow? Don't care.
Canary yellow or Australian gold?
It's Australian gold, my friend.
Anyway, fuck. Hey, can I go another one? Because it's got to do with what you wear as well, right?
Go for it.
So... US Olympic track uniforms spark online debate about who designed them and why they're so skimpy. So again, go to US track, blah, 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 blah. So you go, US track and field athletes have around... So this is the thing, right? They've basically gone, oh, they're too skimpy. Then you read the... This is headlines for you. Then you read the first paragraph. US track and field athletes have around 4 dozen pieces to choose from when assembling their uniforms at the Olympics. The one grabbing the most attention is a high-cut leotard that barely covers the bikini line and has triggered debate between those who think it is sexist and others who argue they don't need the internet to make sure they have a good uniform. Now, I'm just going to stop right there and go, if you've got 48 pieces of kit to choose from, don't choose the one that's skimpy if you don't want to wear it. What are people online? Fuck off, you know? What are these? This again is online idiots saying, taking something out of context. I mean,
there's plenty
if they want to wear baggy shorts.
Everything gets taken out of context nowadays.
Oh, mate, I read that headline and went, oh fuck, are they forcing them to wear fucking G-strings, thongs, while they're running? And I read it and went, no, they're not. Just don't choose it.
Don't let the truth get in the way of a good
mate.
A good story, mate.
It's unbelievable, mate. It's unbelievable.
So last week we spoke about Joseph Tarpany, the Tarpany or whatever his name is from the Bulldogs.
Oh, yes.
Suing them for $4
million. Yep.
So now former Seagulls prop Lloyd Perrott is set to take legal action against the club, having suffered a life-altering seizure at training in 2017.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And they are all coming out of the woodwork now. How this has taken
hell.
7 fucking years? They've mainly been in the press anyway because of that the poor kid, Titmus, who died.
Yeah.
And their training methods have been held accountable. So now he apparently is going to take action.
Yep.
After the result of the inquiry into Keith Titmus was revealed.
Yep.
It's quote here: "When I heard Keith died from heatstroke, I cried like a baby. My psychologist told me it was a condition called survivor's guilt because I knew it could have been me." So apparently they went on a run. He wasn't given water. Well, no one was given water. And he collapsed. We had a run, then a short break, then got sent on another run, again without water, then a third run. I guess my mind was stronger than my body. I don't remember what happened. I collapsed and woke up in hospital with around 7 doctors and nurses around me. I thought I was going to die. Perrott went on to explain a nurse informed him around 60% of people who suffer heatstroke die. While he survived, his career quickly faltered.
Fuck. That's actually a harder one than the Jackson Tapine one. I think.
Yep.
Because there's clear. You could pretend, and don't get me wrong, I don't agree with it, but you could potentially argue that by not giving them water, they weren't looking after them.
Yeah, duty of care.
Duty of care.
Yep.
Fuck this. Sports fucked.
It's fucked, mate. This is. It's just, mate. You wait until fucking Luke Keary retires and goes CTE or head knocks or.
Any of them could.
Yeah,
any of those freaking Roosters players could.
They will,
mate.
They will.
Shit, that's not good.
No.
That's not good. Did you see Jason Demetriou got sacked last night?
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened there? Was that a player revolt, do you think?
Oh, I think he'd lost the player. Well, he'd lost two players.
Yeah, Latrell
and Cody Walker.
Yep.
But look, they've been awful since round 11 last year.
Yeah.
And... regardless of what goes on, the coach is going to get the punt for that.
Yeah. I'm so gutted the Dogs just lost to him this year. The only one they've beaten.
Yeah.
And we should have won that game. It's look, it's interesting who they think's going to... Who they think... They think Wayne Bennett's going to come
back. Bennett,
now,
definitely.
The problem with Wayne Bennett, and it's well known in rugby league circles, is that he's not a builder of pathways and long term. He just wants to win a premiership then and there. Now, he's dealt with Latrell Mitchell before, and they've got on really well. So I think he's going to be a good coach for the side in the short term, but in the long term, I mean, even getting rid of Ilias because they bought this English guy Dodd.
Yeah. So every team
Ilias
that,
didn't do anything that wrong.
Every team that Bennett leaves, he leaves them in a worse place.
Oh, look at Newcastle.
Destroyed Newcastle.
Nathan Brown, the poor bastard.
Yeah, destroyed Newcastle and destroyed St. George Illawarra.
Yeah.
And he, well, and then South as well. So he's already been at South, couldn't win a premiership with them. Mm. No, because Madge won it the year after.
Yep.
So they obviously went well, but then they've actually, that's probably the only place where they've actually continued on. But this was, look, rugby league's very cyclical that, they've been on the top for a long time, South. They've been four, you know, team for the last decade, more.
Yeah.
And it's time for them, which I thoroughly enjoy because I fucking hate South, to... And, mate, I'll tell you what, they're without a couple players. Oh, no, that's Para. Para without Gutherson and Moses for the next 4 weeks.
Para fucked. Yeah. Paragon, mate. Yeah. Paragon. I'd love to be playing Parramatta right now.
Yeah.
I honestly need to be playing him right now. What the fucking Warriors? New Zealand listeners, the Warriors have fallen off a fucking wagon.
Yep.
They were world beaters. And that Manly Warriors game, which Manly should have won a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems like a distant memory, them coming back from that. I mean, they lost to the Titans at home. I mean, come on, guys. I'm a bit worried about the Warriors now. this wasn't meant to be a pun.
fucking hell. Yeah, I think that it's, you know, it's hard to be up for the whole year. Like, it's a long season.
I think this is, okay. Who are the standouts at the moment? Penrith still are. Nathan Cleary comes back.
It's Penrith, Melbourne and well...
Brisbane.
Well, Brisbane aren't great, but yeah, it's probably those three again.
Can they... Oh, sorry, and Cronulla are playing well now.
Forget Cronulla. Forget Cronulla. They are.
I reckon they might go better.
I don't know who's sucking the draw maker's dick for Cronulla. They have had the world's best draws for the last two or three years.
I know.
Whenever they play a good team, they get smoked.
Yeah, I know.
And they dine out on the rubbish.
Yeah, yeah. And the Roosters are probably too up and down.
Hey.
Question, should Sua Lee'i, if he's the best centre or winger, be picked for New South Wales?
I wouldn't pick him.
I wouldn't either. Nah.
I wouldn't pick him.
If he wants to fuck off to Union, fuck off.
Yep, I wouldn't pick him. And
yeah, agreed. If Latrell Mitchell gets picked for New South Wales, I'm going for Queensland.
Well, Latrell's, as there have been rumours now that he's going to make himself unavailable. They won't. Well, I don't think that Maguire will pick Latrell.
He's not a Madge player.
No, I think you've got to pick character.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think there's plenty of guys that they can pick in that position. The interesting call is going to be who plays fullback. Because Dylan Edwards cannot do any more to get selected.
No. How do you fit him in there with Turbo and Teddy?
I think it's either, if Teddy plays, it's either one of two things.
Yep.
You pick Teddy at fullback.
Yeah.
Or you pick Edwards at fullback. There's no room for either of them anywhere else.
Yeah, I agree. Because centre, who your centre's going to be?
You'd have Turbo and Crichton.
Yeah, not Bradman Best?
Nah, mate, no.
Who's 5'8"? Who's your 5'8" at the moment?
5'8"'s hard. Everyone's saying Nicho Hynes, but I think Nicho Hynes is a good NRL player. And I don't think he's... But he's probably going to get a shot. But you know what?
I'd probably pick Luai. I would too.
I'd pick Cleary and Luai. Toto's on one wing.
Yep.
Don't know who the other winger is, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know either. It could even be Daniel Tupou. He's having a fucking great season.
I don't know if he's available.
Oh, okay.
Because I think he plays for one or the other.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not sure. He might be. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Do you know, But do you know what? I reckon they need to pick Cameron McInnes. He is the type of player that would have played heaps of Origin for Queensland. So yeah, but that's great. That's what we want.
They won't
who's
pick
our
him.
Who's our props? Our props are thin, man.
Payne Haas
and you probably have to put Jake in there.
I think you'll probably find that Jake will play in the front row this year.
Olukowatu in
second
row?
I wouldn't pick Olukowatu. I think he's a good NRL player. I don't think he has the work rate to play Origin.
So who are our back rowers then?
Well, you're going to have Cam Murray. You're going to have Yeo.
Yep.
You're going to have Liam Martin.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad. Yeah. I'm still happy with that. Yeah. I'm happy with that.
And then you're probably...
I'd love to have Cam McInnes off the bench. I reckon he'd be fucking amazing.
Man, but the thing is that... Could you pick Pappenhausen at 14th man?
Yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I know.
And he can play dummy half.
Yeah, because Appy can play 80 minutes too. And he'll play 80 minutes in Origin, I think. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, mate. Queensland are so settled. Now that Callum Ponga is injured, I mean, Reece, there's no debate that he's playing, which is great, I think, for them. Yeah. I mean, as usual, they're pretty settled with a good side.
Yeah,
I don't think we'll win this year. I honestly don't think we'll win.
I think
we're done.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, mate.
I don't know, mate.
Cherry Evans is in world beating form still. And he goes up. He grows another leg. I just think Queensland are too good again. And they're going to... Who's that? And their halfback's going to be Sam Walker come in the next year or two.
I wouldn't be...
Well, he's inconsistent at the moment, but he's only 21. You know? Hey, did you listen... Alfie... Hey, you know how they talk about the... Last thing, because what is it? 52. You know how they talk about the... What is it they have the Rugby League Immortals?
Yeah.
Right. And they talk about all these players. No one ever mentions Alfie Langer.
Well, they shouldn't.
Have you seen his record?
Yeah, I've seen his record.
And how good he is?
He was in an incredible team.
Yeah, but so was Cameron Smith.
Yeah.
And so were all those guys. But Alfie Langer, for me, was better than Lockyer. Was better than all the... Better than... For me, he was better than Billy Slater, I think. In terms of what he did for Queensland and Australia and Brisbane Broncos. I don't know. I just think he should be talked about as well because he never gets mentioned.
Yeah.
Never, ever.
Yeah, anyway. No, it's a fair argument, but he also wasn't necessarily the best halfback in the comp all the time either.
Well, it was against Ricky Stewart most of the time, wasn't he? So they would go, you know, tit for tat quite a lot.
Yeah. So and it was interesting that whenever they played in Australia, that Alan Langer would be the halfback. But then when they toured, Ricky Stewart would be the halfback. Because,
interesting.
Well, because on tour,
there's
not all the fucking politics.
Yeah, but you've also got the piss, remember? He would have been on the piss on tour the whole time.
He's a mad lunatic. Yeah, yeah. Look, look, we went for so long with four immortals or with five immortals, however many we had.
Yep.
Just wait.
Well, I think they want to rush Cameron Smith into it. No, let's have the 10 or 20 stand down period, whatever it is. Keep the rules as they are.
Should be. But, you know, it's...
Make it special for him in 10 years' time or whatever it is.
Is Lockyer an immortal?
He was bloody good. But I don't know if he's...
Who are the immortals?
Oh, you got like your Reg Gasnier, Johnny Raper, Mal Meninga, Andrew Johns. you've got Keith Barnes. And is Keith Barnes?
So it's the Immortals. To be chosen immortal, there are 13 players named. Immortals Rugby League in Australia, 13. So there's Churchill, Raper, Gasnier, Fulton, Langlands, Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
Beetson.
Yep.
Johns.
Mm-hmm.
Dally Messenger.
Oh, yeah.
Frank Burge.
Yep.
Dave Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Norm Proven.
Yep.
Mal Meninga.
Okay.
So, and to be honest, it's so difficult because there's so much recency bias in everything we do today.
Yeah.
But if you look at that list, Cameron Smith was an awesome player. Don't get me wrong. He was the best player in the comp.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah.
But did he change the game like the guys that are in that list? Maybe he did. Maybe it's because I fucking hate Melbourne.
Yeah, I hate Melbourne. I hate Queensland.
Maybe. But hang on a minute. Maybe the reason he's so good he is because Melbourne cheated all those years and got to keep that team together, which made him look even better. A
better player, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
is he the same player if he's not playing at Melbourne when he shouldn't have been?
Yeah.
Because, there's no way. There's no way they should have been able to keep that team together for as long as they did, and it was proven that they cheated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? You know, and...
Do you reckon they're blowing too much hot air up Reece Walsh's ass?
Yeah.
I mean, he can do some really good stuff, but he can do some shit too. Yeah, I never talk about that.
Yeah, well, my mate Greg, who I do the official underqualified with, he's a mad Broncos fan, and he's got a love hate relationship with Reece Walsh.
Yeah, yeah.
And he,
because even Ben Barber had less mistakes in him, and Ben Barber was pretty fucking good, especially for that one season.
Well,
with
he won the Dally M, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. In 2000, was it 4?
I think we are so quick to anoint superstars of this of rugby league nowadays.
Same.
And it's almost like they don't, like, they never say a bad thing about Reece Walsh on any telecast.
Oh, it does my head in.
And I'm fine. It, like, pat these guys on the back when they do stuff right, but call them out when they fuck up.
Yeah, I mean all these podcasts, all these, the rugby league, they blow it. Steam up Reece Walsh and Latrell Mitchell, and it's actually starting to get the point where I'm going, well, if you mention again, I'm out.
Yeah.
I can't listen to this bullshit anymore.
I wouldn't want to have a beer with either of those guys.
I think
that Reece Walsh is the most petulant child on the footy field. He fucks up all the time, and the minute someone makes a mistake, he's carrying on like a twat.
Yeah. Well, Billy Slater used to be like that. Billy Slater was a grub. Yeah.
There's no ifs, buts, or
and he probably cleaned it up a bit at the end of his career, but you can't.
He used to dive at people's heads with his legs.
Yeah.
He was a grub.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mate, he could fucking play though.
Oh yeah. See, I'd rather have Billy Slater rather than Reece Walsh any day of the week in my team if I was choosing a best of team. But I get it, he's had a whole career, but
yeah.
Even though Reece Walsh is probably, like, it's like Nathan Cleary is probably ahead of all those other halfbacks now at their age.
Yeah.
When they were their age. Reece Walsh might be there a bit better than Billy Slater was at their age. I just think Billy Slater just had everything in the end.
Billy Slater was amazing. He was unstoppable.
And not just his attack, but the way he could rally the defence. That's why Melbourne and Queensland were so good. He could count numbers really quickly and tell people where the fuck to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's that skill as well, I think.
See, the thing is, we're so quick to anoint these superstars and to forget. We so quickly forget. Like, no one remembers that before Jonathan Thurston became a superstar, that he was in the Coffs Harbour rape scandal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the reason he left the Bulldogs was because of that.
Yeah, partly because it's same with Sonny Bill Williams was involved.
Yep. Jamie Feeney. Yep. There was quite a few of them that were involved, and we forget that. Very quick to forget. And look, I understand that if you've paid your penance, but that sort of got... If that same thing came up now, it would blow the game apart.
Oh, absolutely.
But because it happened 16 years ago, it was 2004, 2003, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It changed. It was sort of swept under the carpet.
Yeah.
But yeah. Mm. Anyway.
Well, they're still not that well behaved with Trindle getting DUI the next day on drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
Oh, just get a lift, mate. Just get a lift.
Mate, these people are so fucking stupid.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, we did a lot of sport today, didn't we?
We did.
A lot of sport. Hey, I'm getting another tattoo on Saturday. Looking forward to it. I'm getting a Peruvian falcon on my right forearm. So, looking forward to that.
What's the...
I can't wait to show you.
What's the...
The meaning behind it?
Yeah.
So, I've been to... Thank you, Adam. We went to Peru, loved the Colca Canyon in Peru, and there's these beautiful condors there, and I'm going to get it in Inca, like Incan sort of style. So, yeah, just to remind me of my travels, and yeah, I love it. So
isn't that what your memory's for? Photos? Does that do the same thing?
Well, I've gone on YouTube and re-looked at them.
Fucking hell.
Go on YouTube. Everyone listening, I just ignored him. Go on YouTube and watch the Peruvian falcons in Colca Canyon. Oh, they're beautiful. Amazing.
You know, I tell you what they'll do. They'll inspire you to get a tattoo on your forearm. They are that incredible.
I was thinking about doing it on my forehead, but I thought my forearm was probably better.
Well, you wouldn't be able to trace over the one that says cock on front on your forehead.
Get stuffed, idiot.
It's been a pleasure, Adam. Thank you, listeners. Share to your friends, share to your enemies. Anytime Fitness. Is that what it is? Is it Anytime Fitness?
Anytime. You got it there, right, mate. And Taka, yeah.
The boys at Anytime Fitness up there at Taka. Do 5 push-ups for me, because I can't do them at all. It's been an absolute pleasure, mate. Till next week.
Love your work. Bye, listeners.
Bye for now.